From KCRW, this is Greater LA. It's the show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Together, LA's two juvenile halls house 370 incarcerated youths at facilities downtown and in Sylmar. The numbers there have fallen sharply since 2020 by more than half, partially as a result of California's rethinking of juvenile justice. But the young people who remain face dire conditions, lockdowns, frequent fights and violence, limited access to learning and recreation, even to their parents or attorneys. The LA County Probation Department, which oversees the halls, claims they need more resources, more officers. They say the situation is so bad, workers are leaving their jobs in droves. And those advocating and speaking on behalf of the youth say that's making for a vicious cycle. Fewer staff members, more chaos, more lockdowns or similar. LA Times reporter James Quealy has written an extensive piece about the crisis at juvenile halls, and he's with us right now to talk about it. James, welcome to you.
Thanks for having me.
Your article starts with the story of a jarring, chaotic scene in a juvenile detention center, and then there are more violent and disturbing stories told by the people inside. What are they saying is happening there, and who are they saying it to?
So by and large, the situation on the ground in the juvenile halls, and this goes back to March, some would argue longer than that, is that you simply do not have enough officers in Central and in Sylmar to properly just affect day-to-day care of young people. You know, people, there are not enough officers for there to be schooling. There are not enough officers to be recreational activities, you know, getting outside, that kind of thing, just running around, things kids do, whether they're in a carceral setting or not. And it's kind of turned everything into a tinderbox. You know, you have people, you have kids just fed up. You have activists, advocates saying the kids have nothing to look forward to. They're pent up. They're not, you know, getting out of small areas. And when they do, you know, tempers flare and fights are quick to happen. You've seen, you know, the data from the probation department shows there have been more fights between youths as of, I believe the data I had was by early October, there have been more fights between youths this year than all of last, and more assaults on officers by youths than all of last year, and that was with 3 months to go. So you've got, you know, people getting hurt, people breaking bones, and it's all coming back to the staffing crisis.
Your report actually cites a lot of data. 40%, only 40% of the juvenile hall staff are considered able to, quote, physically interact with inmates, while another 27% are on leave or light duty. I mean, what explains this massive shortage?
The department has been under a hiring freeze, or at least it's been under a hiring freeze as it relates to juvenile positions. As you know, the probation department also deals with adult probationers. Since the beginning of the pandemic, what's been happening, you know, people have gotten injured on the job and taken long-term leave. In other cases, you've had resignations. Something around 130 people have left the agency over the course of this year. Some of that was retirement, but a lot of it was injury-related, was related to the chaotic situation. You know, I talked to one longtime officer in that story, said he had a friend on the job sometime around April or May, gets punched in the face, may have broken his nose, and just never came back. And there's a lot of stories like that. Officers, you know, they're in these undermanned positions. They get overwhelmed by youth, and they just get overwhelmed by the situation, and they don't want to come back, and they find other work, and the department is simply not able to replace them fast enough. So kind of same thing, you know, vicious cycle. The problems cause people to leave, and then they don't have enough people to deal with the situation on the ground during each shift, and then things get worse.
And I can imagine, I mean, that there's a lot of fallout for the people who are incarcerated at those juvenile facilities.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of, you know, really unpleasant stories about what's happening to the youths in there as well. You know, I spoke to a clinician at one of the halls, you know, somebody who deals, you know, really has a lot of knowledge of the mental health impacts on the individual youth. You know, they said they've seen patients that never exhibited self-harming behavior before now having suicidal ideations this year. There's one anecdote in my piece of a youth who, by the clinician's description, was generally mild-mannered, not in there for a violent crime, not a violent kid. Was staying at Central and was informed of another lockdown and just had enough and refused to go back to their their room and was dragged off by 8 probation officers screaming. There was a physical interaction. I'm not exactly sure of the specifics, but ultimately the kid is banging his head against the door to his room, you know, over and over and over again. Well, his clinician is there, you know, by their description, unable to do anything, and officers are not getting involved. You know, I've just heard other stories of, you know, generally this, you know, the point of juvenile detention under California law is rehabilitation, not punitive. Yet kids aren't going to school because either education employees themselves are afraid to go into the halls because of the chaos, or due to the staffing levels, the probation department can't legally allow classes to take place. You've got kids, some of them with learning disabilities, left in a room to do a workbook and not gain anything from it. Like I said, I talked to one kid who was, you know, he described being held in about 5 different lockdowns at Central going back to the summer. You know, said he's, again, just stuck in a box all day, not able to communicate with anybody, not able to really do anything of meaning, and even, you know, sometimes not able to get access to a bathroom in expedient times, that he didn't feel like he was being treated like a human being while in juvenile custody in L.A. County.
There is more use of force that's been going on there. Pepper spraying, right? You mentioned that in your article, pepper spraying by officers. Attacks on officers as well. What are you hearing from them?
The officers are extremely frustrated. They think whether it is by the Board of Supervisors or the state board that has some oversight, the department itself, the media, that they are always painted as the villains being abusive toward kids. And the probation department does have a bad reputation in this area. You mentioned pepper spray. A number of officers were prosecuted but ultimately not convicted for assault a couple of years back for the way they used pepper spray on youths. There were a couple of county inspector general reports back in, I believe, 2018 detailing, you know, the way spray was used as a threat. In some cases, kids were being sprayed back in the day and not then properly, you know, given a chance to decontaminate or wash it out of their eyes or their mouths. And, you know, that was basically, you know, prolonged pain issue. The department was supposed to phase out the use of pepper spray. It is basically one of the highest levels of force they are legally allowed to use on kids in custody, but it just has not happened. You know, the state Department of Justice has an oversight role in this, but it has not been properly phased out yet. I believe, I don't have the data in front of me, but I believe I reported that the use of spray basically effectively quadrupled this year. And then, yeah, you've got, you know, increases in overall force, use of soft restraints, use of physical restraints, physical blows on the kids. And this is happening more also because of the staffing issue again. You know, we've got multiple anecdotes in that story. I've heard multiple anecdotes from officers that they end up in these situations where there's a fight between 8, 10, 12, 14 kids, and there's only one of them. And basically, as a crowd control device, they will disperse the OC spray that the county doesn't want them to, the chemical spray rather, the pepper spray that the county doesn't want them to use.
I just want to make it clear, though, because, you know, the probation department claims it's a lack of funding. Your report says a lot of people are calling in sick. And in fact, you note that the budget has actually increased, even while the number of incarcerated youth has fallen by more than half since I mentioned since 2020. So this really is, I don't want to come to work.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this is going to shock you, but police agencies and police unions often ask for more money as the answer to every problem.
Right.
So that is not exactly a shocking turn of events here. The general argument is that this is a blue flu situation to some extent, that the officers are refusing to come to work out of, you know, not in a, I guess blue flu is unfair because that's, you know, generally connotes to a protest situation where it's
well,
more.
Well, fear is well, real. That's
fear,
a real
the fear
thing.
Is real. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. I'm just, yeah, exactly. They are legitimately afraid. And there are, you know, it's not that they are overblowing this. You know, I've written about issues of, like I said, officers suffering broken bones. An officer fell through some kind of tarp or skylight on a pool complex back in February. The concerns about manpower and about physical disparity between some of the officers and the youths are very real. I don't mean to diminish the situation the probation officers find themselves in, but yeah, but the issue by and large is not staff vacancies, it's staff not coming in. There are vacant positions, certainly. The department is not fully staffed as to what it is funded. But the main frustration by everything I can look at is that officers who are on the payroll not showing up.
The state of California has decided to shut down, you know, its remaining juvenile detention centers next year, which, you know, follows years of complaints of abuse and calls for alternatives, obviously, to youth imprisonment. I mean, Is that one? I mean, what are the solutions, James, going forward? What does the state say is a solution? What does LA County say is a solution?
The department keeps referring to what it says is the LA model. I don't honestly understand what that is. It hasn't been well explained. If you talk to more advocates in this space, you know, they talk about a, you know, countywide plan called Youth Justice Reimagined, which would be, like you mentioned, you know, kind of an alternative to incarceration, trying to make focus everything more towards a rehabilitative or reform lens. You mentioned the Division of Juvenile Justice closing down at the state level, I believe by mid-2023, all those facilities will close. And that's a big concern locally because most people in DJJ are there for violent crimes. They might still have time left on their sentences. And, you know, we're probably talking about less than 50, less than 60 kids, but those people will be coming back to the juvenile halls that are already in disarray with the current population.
James Quealy writes about crime and policing for the LA Times. Thanks for coming on, James, and thanks for talking about this. I mean, it's a serious issue. There's a lot going on there, and I hope you'll keep us updated.
I will do my best to do that. Thanks for having me on.
Coming up on GLA, with World Cup soccer moving along now, look at how the world's most popular game finally made it to America and how youth soccer helped it along decades ago right here in Southern California.
We moved to Torrance. It was like moving to Disneyland. It was the best place in the whole wide world with a beach a mile away, and then soccer started in 1964.
The American Youth Soccer Organization has taken over nationwide as the place where kids play the game, but it started right here in Greater LA. That's yours after this short break.